Invite you to find your way back to your seats. All right, well, again, I'm Pastor Ron. It's so good to have you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. If this is your first Sunday here, give you a special welcome. We're delighted you could join us this morning. I know that we have a number of couples that are absent this morning. They are up at the Hershey at the Weekend to Remember, the marriage conference there. So Father, we just pray for those couples who are there, who have given of this weekend, who've invested this time into strengthening their marriage. So Lord, we pray that the things they've heard all through the weekend, and as they wrap up that seminar this morning and head home today, Lord, we pray that you would seal those things that you've revealed to them, and you would just knit them deeply into their minds and into their hearts, that their marriages truly would be strengthened. They would be drawn closer to you and to one another. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to continue the sermon series this morning that we've started a number of weeks ago. And for those of you who are here, I know you've heard the introduction before, but just bear with me, because each Sunday the Lord blesses us with people maybe that haven't heard the introduction before. We are studying from Romans chapter 12, a list of gifts there that many people call, some people call them motivational gifts and some call them redemptive gifts. You'll see them come up here. There are different places in the New Testament where gifts are mentioned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul specifically talks about spiritual gifts. There's also a list of gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 that we view basically as ministry gifts, ministry offices in the body of Christ. This list right here from Romans 12, if you're at all familiar with the New Testament, you may remember seeing this before, where Paul uses the analogy of a body, and he said, we're like a body, we are many members, we are many parts, but of the body of Christ, we all form one body. And Paul talks, he identifies these seven things and how they are given to different people. And many people have come to believe over the years that this list of gifts is really a kind of a wiring, if you will, that is received even from birth, even before you're born, that this is a part of who you are. So again, I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll repeat it again. We're not in this study. Now, I'm going to talk about two of these gifts this morning, and we're going to keep working our way through. But we're not talking specifically about things that you are currently doing or maybe skills that you have. We're really talking about your personality, who you are, how you're wired, how you process things. Now, it's obvious that if the Lord wires you a certain way, that he will, as you submit to him, most likely use you probably in some form of ministry or some form of involvement that might tie in closely with what this personality or wiring is that he's given you. So I hope that's helpful, just sort of as a brief overview. Again, as I said last Sunday, the purpose of the time we're spending on this is not so you can just write a description on a label, stick it on yourself, and say, okay, I now know that I am a servant or I am an encourager, and then just go on in life just kind of ignoring that. The idea is once you identify this, then it really begins to open up questions where you ask the Lord, okay, how do you want to develop this in me? How do you want to use me in this particular area? So I'm really enjoying, by the way, hearing some of your stories. People are sharing with me, you know, the Lord's really showing me I think I'm this, or I think I might be that, or I'm not sure, and I'm just really enjoying this journey. So this morning, we're going to continue. Last Sunday, we looked at gifts 2 and 3, the servant and the teacher. And this morning, we're going to focus on the encourager and the giver. So go ahead, Brad. We're going to go ahead to the, we're focusing on the encourager. Now, those of you who are familiar with this, oftentimes this is called an exhorter. Exhorter is the word in the King James Version. Encourager is the word in the New International. Just so you know, it's one and the same. Those of you who are familiar with the term exhorter, that's what we're talking about. That Greek word that's used there, regardless of what your English translation says, is parakaleo, which what it means is to call alongside, to urge, to beseech, to comfort, to encourage, to exhort. A real simple analogy I felt I had when I was thinking about this word: an encourager is not a pusher. An encourager is not a pusher. An encourager is what? A puller. A puller. Have you ever felt pushed by someone? Like, come on, do this, do that, get moving, get going. Have you ever felt more pulled by someone? Like, they're right there with you, like, come on, come on, come with me, let's go. They're pulling you along. And I think that's a little snapshot of this particular gift, this gift of encourager. An encourager has the ability to tell someone what to do that makes them that doesn't make them feel like they're being told what to do. You hear that? The encourager kind of has a way of pretty clearly suggesting to someone what to do, but the person, they feel like they're being invited into a grand venture. Have you ever had someone like that? Maybe your boss or your manager or something, that they don't just walk into your office and say, hey, I need those reports done by 5 o'clock. They might say something like, you know, the growth of this company is so affected by accurate data. And when we have reports that are done well, it gives us a picture. And I'm not just saying they're making this stuff up, but they have that ability to pull people along and to pull them towards a goal. Here's some behavioral characteristics of this particular wiring. And again, I share these with you. And as I go through the list, you know, if you're feeling that, boy, a lot of these really describe me, this may be an area you want to look closer at, is to just, Lord, is this one of these primary wirings you've given me? A description that some people use of this person, this personality, is a party waiting to happen. They're very social. They're fun to be around. They're a party. We're looking for a place to happen. They have an instant rapport with strangers, an instant connection with strangers. Do you know anybody like that? Are you like that? Like, you go into a supermarket, you go into a new job or whatever, and there's this instant connection with people you've never met before. Highly relational. They have the ability to understand and relate well to others. They're busy, hardworking, multitaskers. This type of person is usually very active, very on the go, and they usually have about 5 and 6 balls in the air at the same time because they love doing. They love moving. They love going. I understand they can have a very loud argument with someone without alienation. You know, they love debating and getting into these things, but they don't alienate people when they do that. They're a master communicator. I understand that this particular gift, encourager, exhorter, they make the best public speakers. You know, every gift can be a public speaker, but they say this gift here has just that ability to communicate just wonderfully. They're very determined. They're very flexible. They're able to adapt a plan easily. They're very visionary. Now, who else did we say was visionary? We said that prophetic wiring, that prophet gifting, is a person that's very visionary. And it's suggested that while a prophet can see very deep into a situation, and the prophet can see long, the exhorter, encourager, can see wide. They see a very wide picture. They see a very broad picture. They seek the approval of others. The approval of others is very important to this encourager, exhorter. Very dramatic, often melodramatic. They're a natural leader that inspires and mobilizes. They have a passive leadership style. They're not heavy-handed. You know, an exhorter, encourager, does not walk around yelling at people, telling them what to do. Like I said, they're very relational in their leadership style. They're high energy. They love change. They love change. Does anybody here love change? And they govern by persuasion rather than principle. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but the way they like to govern and lead is through persuading people. not just to tell you, well, this is the way it is, I expect you to do it. They will try to persuade you. They use persuasion. Now, in the scriptures, a couple examples that seem to indicate this wiring, and some of them are pretty understandable, but think of the man Moses. God called Moses to organize and put together a nation out of several million slaves. Like, imagine what kind of motivation and organization, and Moses bumped into this all the time. These people were resisting him, and they were grumbling about this and complaining about that. But God said to Moses, I want you to take this people. I want you to lead them out of Egypt where they are slaves. Take them out into the desert. Moses was required to form a government, to form laws. I mean, God gave him this, but he had to implement this government structure, form laws, a military. But God needed more than just a good mobilizer. He needed someone to make him known in the midst of this mobilization. He needed someone to, okay, here are the laws, but these laws are from God. And this is why they are the way they are. This is a picture of who God is. When you look at the Ten Commandments, it's a picture of who God is. This was a people, these slaves in Egypt, had basically a 400-year blackout in terms of hearing from God. There wasn't much going on over 400 years. All they had was kind of some faint memories. And here comes Moses on the scene, and he says, I'm going to declare to you, I am that I am. I'm going to declare to you this God, and I'm going to declare to you who he is. And tuck this piece away in your memory. I'll just touch on this again briefly later. But how did Moses go about knowing what to say? How did Moses know how to lead this people? He spent an awful lot of time alone on the mountain. He spent a lot of time alone on the mountain, and that's where he was fed. So then, as this mobilizer, encourager, exhorter, he had something to give. He had something to feed. All right, this will come up here on the screen. What the encourager runs from. Now, I know sometimes this, I've called this a foundational principle, but the idea here is that if this is your natural tendency, this issue is one you really are going to have to get a hold of. The encourager, from what I understand, just does not want anything to do with pain and rejection. They don't want anything to do with that. So when they're placed in a position of mobilizing and leading, as soon as an issue comes up that might cause a little bit of pain to really work through it, their tendency is to want to run from that. And the idea is that this encourager, exhorter can never really break through into the full calling that God has for them until they're willing to attack that issue. It won't come naturally. It won't really be enjoyable. Just, you know, go get a prophet and ask them what to do. You know, when you have to deal with a painful situation, because this encourager, exhorter is very relational, and they don't like anything that might upset someone. So this is an area they have to work through. Okay. Let's go on now. I'm going to bring up this same little needle thing that we've been using now for several weeks. Again, for those of you who are here the first time, what we're saying is that every one of these personalities has certain characteristics, core things about it, that when a person is immature, they're disconnected from God, there is an immature expression to these characteristics. And on the other hand, when God is really working in a person's life, that same characteristic is used in a much more positive way. I think you'll see how this works when we get into it. Let's bring up the first one. I've already said this. A core element of this personality, encourager, exhorter, is this very thing, relationships. They're very relational. They're very much about relationships. Now, this is very simple, but what's an immature expression of that? An immature expression of relationships is when the relationships are completely horizontal. Remember I said they're people person. They love being with people. They love being around people. They love leading people. They love talking to people. When God begins to work in this personality and he moves them forward into what he has, the relationships mature to include a vertical expression, where that person realizes it's not just about being with people. I need time with God on the mountain. I need time with God on the mountain. I need time where I'm developing this vertical relationship. It's a single relationship with God, so that he has something that he can do through me in all of my horizontal relationships. Horizontal relationships are great. It's not, when you see that on the immature side, that doesn't mean that's bad. It's just it's not developed. And God wants to develop this vertical relationship. Let's go on to another one. Another core element in this gift is the word influence. These people are very influential. They're very influential. Well, what's an immature expression of influence? And again, this is not bad. This is a good thing. But in the immature expression, influence is all about human vision. You know, you get a great CEO of a company, and he mobilizes and he drives a multi-million dollar company around what he wants. That's what a mobilizer does. He sees what he wants. He sees what he wants to accomplish, and he's able to do that. But as God matures this encourager, exhorter, the mature expression then is about revealing God. God didn't say to Moses, hey, put those people together and lead them however you think will be best. He said, I need you to declare my name to them. They need to know me. They need to learn about me. And part of your role as their leader is going to be to do that very thing. So the mature expression of influence is revealing God. Let's go on to another one. A third one yet. I keep using this word, mobilizing. This person is a mobilizer. You know who I mean, right? That person that it seems no matter where they go, whether it's Boy Scouts, whether it's a committee at church, whether it's a group of people at work, they're usually in charge. They're the one, they have the email lists, they make the phone calls, and I don't mean like ultimately in charge all the time, but they're the ones that get people together. Hey, let's get together, let's plan this, you know, I'll call everybody and I'll send out an email. So it's mobilizing. Now, what is the more immature expression of mobilizing is simply busyness. People are very good at that, they put themselves into it, and they become very busy. Again, that's not a bad thing. We're all thankful for people like that who make all those phone calls so we don't have to. But that's kind of the immature expression. So what's the more mature expression of busyness? It's clearly God's purposes, where that activity is driven by the question, God, what are you calling me to mobilize? What are you calling me to organize? How are you calling me to pull people forward into what you have for them? What are you calling me to do with that? One more slide here yet on this gift. Easy for the encourager. I understand these two things are very easy. The relationships, I've been talking about that all morning. But notice that second word. I understand that people that have this gifting, evangelism comes very natural to them. Not a stand on the standing on a street corner yelling, but this relational evangelism where they get to know people and they're able to build that rapport. I used that word earlier, rapport, that God uses them to just speak into people's lives in a very natural way. So if you feel this is your wiring, this is your gifting, ask God to begin developing that in you, this ability you have to make relationships, to also allow him to mature that so that you're telling people about him also. Now, for those of you who don't have this gifting, that means that you don't have to worry about evangelism, right? Wrong. It doesn't mean that. We're all called to share our faith. We're all called to give a reason for the hope that we have. But this particular wiring, that seems to go much naturally. Now, what is difficult? What is hard for the encourager? The suggestion is this time alone thing. Encouragers, it can be difficult in that natural wiring to pull away, to be fed themselves. They're so busy feeding and giving and organizing and mobilizing that they can get spent if they're not careful, okay? The encourager's birthright. I think part of this might be written in your program. This, God wants to use this personality to know and experience him and to make him known through their natural ability to influence and lead. This is a world-changing gift. I understand that some of the people with this gifting are some of the most recognized names in the world of people that have just totally accomplished major things. If God has gifted you in this area, relationships, influence, visionary mobilizing, offer your services to him and ask him what he wants you to do with that. What he wants you, how he wants to use that. for his purposes, to make him known. Not just because there's something needs organizing and you know how to do it, but what does he want you to do with that? Okay? So that's just a really brief snapshot of that particular gifting. And again, I'm going to have the handouts up here with more information on them. Let's go to our second one then for this morning. The second one is number 5 on the list, and that of a giver. That of a giver. Now, you hear that, and you're like, yeah, I know what a giver does, right? Well, this was fascinating to me as I studied this more, just some of the research that's gone into this particular gift. Here are some behavioral characteristics of a giver. They are the most diverse, adaptable, and flexible of all the gifts. It's suggested that sometimes the giver is the hardest one to identify because they kind of take all these different appearances. It's not quite as easy to identify them. A giver tends to be very independent. They don't need a lot of other people supporting them and holding their hand. They tend to be very independent. And this is one I'd never heard before. Again, a lot of this is new to me, but a giver really thinks not only of here and now, but of coming generations, of the coming generations. How can I bless and be a blessing to those who are coming after me? I was talking to someone about this morning, and many of you are familiar with the name of Milton Hershey. You know, there is so much happening in Hershey right now. I mean, I don't mean like right at this moment, but if you go to Hershey, you'll see his name so many places. Different things that are happening and that are going forward yet to this day because of the foresight of a man named Milton Hershey. Sure, money was involved, but he could have easily took his money and spent it like most people do with their money, but he didn't. He was thinking of the coming generations, and that is a part of this gift, from what I understand. Normally, in most cases, that is a part of this gift. This person is designed not to be needy, does not look to others for help. They can look at a problem and find their own solution. They can figure it out. This gift, from what I understand, can't be hustled easily. They can't be manipulated. They see through. If you approach someone with this gifting and you try to, you know, hustle them into some scheme or something, you're most likely not going to succeed at that. This gift, from what I understand, resists giving to an irresponsible spender. If a giver has a brother-in-law who seems to forever be running out of money, but yet the giver knows that the brother-in-law has a job, and the giver suspects that the brother-in-law is just being irresponsible, the giver is not motivated to give to that brother-in-law. The giver wants to give to something that's going to bear fruit, not just to put money into sort of this ongoing irresponsibility. The giver is able to relate to a wide range of people. A giver is a nurturer to their family. They facilitate and protect the family environment. They are private people, often, in their own lives. They protect their reputation of themselves, their spouse, their family. Let's see, what's next? Non-confrontational by nature. They often wait for an opportunity to get the best out of a situation. They don't push their way through. They don't try to knock down hurdles. They have an immense heart for evangelism. This is interesting to me. I mean, this, I don't know if anybody can affirm this or not, but they have an immense heart for evangelism. They do everything in leading a person to Christ, but that very last step, that they prefer someone else, kind of closes the deal, if you know what I mean. Now, I don't know if that connects with anybody or not, but that's some of the research that's behind this gift. They're often used, the giver is often used in birthing new things, new visions, new strategies, new programs. I understand a giver is very helpful to a prophet, this prophet personality, because a prophet has a vision, and a giver is often one that will come alongside of the prophet and help it get beyond just that vision and see that thing birth, whatever it is. They're very intuitive. They're concerned about safety. They're cautious. They're without shame. They do not have a shameful view of themselves. They're very insightful. They're not a big risk taker. They are a good listener. Now, I don't know whether that list, whether a number of things on that list hits you. What about in the scriptures? Abraham is pointed to as a person that had this sort of this outlook on life. Let me just ask you a question about Abraham. How much did he really accomplish in his lifetime? Like, if you can talk about the great exploits of Abraham, like, does anything come to mind? Like, did he conquer any cities? Did he build any massive cities? Did he, you know, invent the internet? You know, what did Abraham do? Abraham is known far more for what he started than for what he accomplished. Abraham was a father of many nations. God told him, you are going to be the father of many nations. And you see this whole thing through Abraham's life. He has the promises of God, but he doesn't have a means of passing it on to the next generation. And that burdened him greatly. He's like, God, I don't have a son. Like, I'm all for this promise, but I need a son. I need someone to make sure that it goes to the next generation. So that's part of this giver package. Another little minor detail about Abraham that really ties into this giving thing, God sometimes asks a giver to give really big things. What did God ask Abraham to give? After Abraham finally got this son that was promised, God in essence said, okay, give him back. Sacrifice him back. He's mine now. And it says in Hebrews that the faith of Abraham was so strong that he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham understood God as a provider. That's the whole Jehovah Jireh thing there when it said God would provide. Don't have time to get into all that this morning. But Abraham knew that God would provide even if Isaac's life was sacrificed. So Abraham had this giver gift. Another one I don't have time really to touch on, but another was Job. If you want to do a little reading in Job 31, you remember Job had all these trials in his life that God allowed to come into his life. And he had these annoying friends that wanted to come and just throw rocks at him, basically. They were telling him all the things he had done wrong and all, you must be sinful to have all these problems. And in Job 31, Job, just over and over, he says all these things. He was acknowledging he was wealthy, but he said, I gave to the widow, I gave to the fatherless. It never would have occurred to me not to give, not to give, not to give. You can see more of that in Job 31. All right, let's bring up on the bottom of the screen here, Brad, the foundational principle for the giver is stewardship. Many of you are familiar with that word. Stewardship has to do with ownership. Who is the owner? That's a key area for the giver to get a hold of. Remember I said the exhorter, encourager, they really have to get a hold of that thing of pain in relationships and being willing to embrace that. The giver has to be willing to really ask this hard question. Who owns what? Let's go into the core elements. Bring our little needle thing back up on the screen here again. The first core element of this giver personality, I mean, generally speaking, when God makes someone a giver, he gives them something to give. So people that have this gift, generally, are people that God will bless with wealth. Now, what's an immature expression of that? The immature giver sees themselves as a recipient of wealth. As a recipient of wealth. The mature expression of wealth is the mature giver understands that they are not a recipient of wealth. They are a conduit. Do you know what a conduit is? Officially, a conduit is like a metal pipe that other wiring runs through, but you can have a conduit that carries water. A conduit is something that carries something else. And a mature giver understands they are not a recipient of wealth. It does not stay with them. They are a conduit for wealth. It flows through them. It comes to them, but it flows through them. That's this core element of wealth. Another one, this core element of investing. A giver is skilled at investing. They generally are very discerning, very knowledgeable about investing. So see if you can get these two words. We're going to put them both up, Brad. The immature expression, I would suggest, of this is sight, and the mature expression of this investing is faith. A giver is very good at analyzing investments, generally speaking. And they make their decisions based on sight. What I can see, what I can measure, I want to read the reports, I want to see the figures, I want to see the stock's performance, I want to see all this stuff, and then I'm going to be discerning, I'm going to be wise, and I'm going to invest accordingly. But as God matures a giver, he moves him or her to this place where they're able to invest by faith. They're able to invest in a ministry that doesn't even exist yet. They're able to invest in a business that hasn't even opened its doors yet. They're able to invest in a person that, on first glance, you're like, I'm not sure about that. But the God increases the faith of the giver, so they're able to invest by faith and not just by sight. Let's go on to the next one. I know we're moving quickly here, but let's go on to the next one. And this is a big one also. A giver is generous. I mean, generosity is part of this giving gift, this giving wiring. Now, let me put these words up here, both at the same time, and see if you can see. It might not jump right out, but the immature expression is sometimes, the mature expression is always. What do I mean by that? What is the sometimes that an immature giver gives? It's when they have a lot. See, it's easy to give when you have a really large bank account because, you know, you're prone to give, but even in the immature expression, you're like, well, I can give now. I can give now because I have surplus. I can give now. But the immature expression of giving is when the surplus is not there, then the giving stops. Because it's a sometimes. But the mature expression of generosity is always there, in plenty and in want. Now, obviously, if you don't have as much, you can't give as much, but the giver still doesn't stop giving, even when they have little, because they tie in this thing of faith. Even when they give more than they think they should, they're like, God will replenish. God will provide my needs. If I give more than what I need, or more than what I have at this moment, or maybe a little more than what I should, as long as this is what God is directing me to do, he's going to provide that. Some of you heard a testimony at our congregational meeting here a couple weeks ago about a person who in response to our plea in January for giving towards building fund. They asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to give?" And they felt the Lord gave them a clear number of what they should give. And their immediate thought was, I don't have that kind of money. But within a very short period of time, the Lord provided for them through sort of some unexpected means the exact amount, the exact number that he had given. So giving is not about having it to give. It's about receiving it to give. God gives it to you and you're a giver, so you pass it right on. Easy for the giver is this thing of discernment and favor. I understand, I don't get all this, but I understand that people that are really walking in this gift of a giver, there's just a favor on them. There's a favor on them. When they go to the bank for a loan, or when they talk to someone about contributing to something, there is a favor on them that God places on them. It's because he wants to use this gift in them. What is difficult for a giver until they really mature is dependence. From what I understand, again, I know I keep using that term, givers like to be independent. They like to provide for their own needs. The last thing they want is to be in a situation where they have to depend on someone else. They're very dependent. They want to provide for their own needs. But the journey that God takes a giver on is to realize that he's the one they must be dependent on. They must be dependent on him. Because when they develop that, that takes them to that place of constant generosity. Because they're depending on God. God, I'm depending on you. And that's the journey for this giver to get to that point. The giver's birthright, something like this is in your program. I can't remember exactly what it was, but is to this birthright is to give life, not just money, to give life to the current and future generations, giving birth to new things, allowing God's blessing to flow through you. Allowing God's blessing to flow through you. So it'll wrap up here in just a few more minutes. I wanna interject something here that applies to all the weeks. Josh reminded me of this last Sunday, or last, whenever it was we were talking this week. He said, you know, I bet there are some people that on week one, they thought they were a prophet, but then when we get to the teaching about teacher, they're like, oh, no, wait a minute, maybe that's what I am. And then when we get to this thing about the giver or whatever, you know, that is perfectly all right. As we go through this discernment process, especially for those of you whom this is new material, just keep asking the Lord. You'll see yourself in different ones, but just keep asking him. What I want to add to that is I believe that one of the important parts of really discerning, trying to discern and zero in, is to ask the people that really know you well. Someone told me a story this morning before the service that they had been convinced for the past 20 years that they had the redemptive gift of mercy, until they heard the teaching on the redemptive gift of prophet. Now, that's really bizarre because they're like opposite ends of the spectrum. But this person heard this redemptive this teaching on the redemptive gift of prophet. They said, I was like checking off like everyone on the list except for two or three. I was checking off every one of them. And so this person went to their mother, and the mother said, of course you're a prophet. Didn't you know that? Yeah. So there's value. Husbands and wives talk about this stuff at home. You know, the people that are it has to be someone that knows you well. Don't ask a stranger on the street. That's not going to help you. It has to be someone that knows you really well, but ask them, you know, what do you think this is me? Do you think this is me? Because the people that know you well will give you additional valuable insight, okay? So what I'd like to do as we close this morning, let's go to our last slide up here yet, Brad. We have one more. Sorry about that. I know this is repetitive. You saw it last week, but I just am determined to say this every time when I say encouragers, we need you. Givers, we need you. Remember these seven gifts. When you have all of them, make a complete picture. And when one or two is missing, we're missing something. As a body, we're missing something. So for those of you who have that wiring that I was talking about in terms of encouraging, exhorting, we need that gift in the body. For those of you who are givers, we need that gift. Not because we need your money, because we need you to help us understand that God is trustworthy, that he is dependable, he will give what he says, he has way more than we'll ever need. We need you to help us learn that lesson. What I'd like to do this morning, especially with this gift of giver, I'll add one more thing. It's just, I was just sort of having this discussion with the Lord on this particular gift. I'm like, Lord, it seems to me that this is even one of those gifts that we could probably develop, even if it's not really there. But the only way to develop it is you got to start giving all your stuff away. Because then if you really do that out of a pure heart, what's God going to do? He's going to just start replacing your stuff. You know, that's a whole different sermon. Let's not go into that anymore. I know for those of you who have this gift of giving, you might be a little uncomfortable standing up, like we have been doing the last few weeks, and saying, yes, I'm a giver. I know some people misunderstand that, or they read things into that. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you all to stand up this morning. Go ahead, now, you can stand up. I invite you to stand, and we're going to have a closing prayer where I want to pray over these encouragers, exhorters. And for those of you who are here this morning with that gift, you know who you are, and for those of you who are here with this gift of giving, maybe it's not fully developed in you yet, But you know God has been stirring that in you as well. So I want to pray for the full release of both of these gifts in you today and for all these areas, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this journey that you're taking us on. We're asking these questions. Why am I the way I am? We're trying to look at this wiring that you've placed in us, these tendencies you've placed in us. And Father, for those who are here this morning that really, as I was talking about encourager, exhorter, they're like, you know, I think that's me. God, I pray that you would raise them up to the place of prominence that you have designed for them, but only to the degree that they are willing to wait on you and to allow you to feed them so they have something to feed others that you will give them influence over. Lord, I pray for the release of this gift. I pray for the release of this exhortation, for this urging on, for this encouraging, for this moving forward. God, we need that. So I pray for those individuals this morning, and Lord, for this gift of giver, I pray for a full release and maturity of that in the lives of those that have that gift, that calling, that wiring. Lord, but in addition, I pray for each of us that we would grow in this area. Lord, you will use us in different ways in this particular area of giving, but every one of us is instructed from Scripture, freely you have received, freely give. Lord, make us givers. Make us all givers. That we would be fully dependent on you, fully believing that you will provide whatever we need. Lord, make us generous. Make us givers. So, Father, again, thank you for this journey you're taking us on, and I pray your blessing on each person as we ask you, why have you made us the way you have, and more importantly, what are your purposes for doing so? I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you so much for coming. We're going to wrap up with that. Those of you who have children, you're released to go and get them. And talk to one another about this. Talk about the journey, the things God is showing you. And we'll continue to rejoice in what he's doing. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You're dismissed.